OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. The show is for Shabbat Nachamu, Shabbat Parshat Vo'et Chanan, post Tisha B'Av, forward-looking time to the Geula, to what we can do towards the Geula, to personal repentance, to national repentance, and straightening ourselves out as individuals and as a community. Recording and first broadcast of this show, Thursday, the 11th of Menachem Av, the 26th of July. The Shabbat we are approaching, Shabbat Nachamu, should be a little bit more joyous than regular Shabbatot of the year, just as last Shabbat was a little bit sadder than other Shabbatot. Remember when you used to play with a yo-yo? Maybe you still do play with a yo-yo. When you first learn how to use it, the hard thing to remember is that before the yo-yo reaches the end of its string, you have to already be pulling it back. Otherwise, you won't succeed. We started a mournful period of the year for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It began with Shivasar B'Tammuz and the beginning of the 3 weeks. It intensified at Rosh Chodesh Av for the 9 days. When the Shabbat Chazon was over and we approached what's called Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, the mourning aspects were intensified. Erev Tisha B'Av more so. Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon even more so. Tisha B'Av night and Tisha B'Av day, the very strictest forms of mourning. Comes the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, and there is a slight tug on the string that's being let out. Lest you continue in that downward direction of mourning and more and deeper and further, you possibly can go too far, and it won't be possible to come back easily. But when you give that little tug, what little tug, the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, you're already sitting on a chair, not on the ground. The lights go back full force in the shul. The curtain goes back on the aron and on the shulchan, the coverings. And the mincha of Tisha B'Av is a normal fast day mincha, not the extra mournful flavor that you feel in the morning of Tisha B'Av with the special Torah reading and the Haftorah read to the tune of Eicha and all of the keynote, of course. But it's almost normalizing. Restrictions of the day continue till the night. In fact, the rest of that night and the morning until noon of yesterday, until the 10th of, the custom is to continue the practices of the 9 days. But it's already easier and lighter than Tisha B'Av day itself. You feel the tug of the string and the yo-yo is returning towards the top. You say Nachem in Mincha of Tisha B'Av. And that introduces the element of comfort, which is a healthy follow-through to the expressions of grief that we've had until now. And then comes Shabbat Nachamu, and there's extra joy, as I mentioned. And that's followed this particular year, the way the calendar works out, a couple of days later, and it is Tu B'Av, which the Mishnah says was the most joyous day of the year, in addition to Yom Kippur. And it is a healthy direction in which to go. Grief and mourning needs boundaries, needs the ability to snap out of it, as much as it needed the ability to be there and to grieve, because we have to look forward to the Geula, we have to look forward to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and most significantly for us, we have to look forward to building ourselves and our society in such a way that the natural cause of events will be the Geula. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir HaMa'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'koli Tehiena Aznecha Kashuvot L'kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmorya Adonai Mia Amod. Ki Imcha HaSalicha L'ma'an Tivarei. Ki Viti Adonai Kiveta Nafshi V'lidvoro Hocholti. Nafshi L'Adonai Mishomerim LaBoker Shomerim LaBoker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha, u'miafela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula, hashta ba'gala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. I spoke yesterday to the Torah Tidbits folders about some of the mitzvot in Parshat Vo'etchanan, and I would like it to be a combination of a look into the Sedra, into the mitzvot of Vo'etchanan, but also maybe a way to embark on our project, our program, our agenda to bring about the Geula by straightening ourselves out, by being better Jews, better people, and helping others in a very pleasant way also improve themselves. I believe that's the trick to hastening the Mashiach and ending the exile in all of its ramifications, and maybe some of what I say can be food for your thought. Before that, I'd like to play a song. It's one of my all-time favorites. I've played it on Torah Tidbits Audio before. This is one of the times of the year where it's appropriate. The words come from this week's Sedra of Vo'etchanan, and significantly, they were also in the part of Vo'etchanan which we read on Tisha B'Av morning. Ata hareta lada'at ki Hashem hu ha'elokim ein od milavado. The concept of being taught that God is one and that there is no other God before Him. The idea, of course, is echoed in our recitation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which is required to be said twice a day and, in fact, is said three or four times a day, if not more. That is not just a statement of our belief in God. It is a command to believe in God and His unity. And that's Ein Od Milavado also. The song is by Ira Heller. It's a long piece, but I have a long-standing tradition on Torah Tidbits Audio, even in the old days when I used to have songs cut after 2-3 minutes. This one song, I indulged in playing it out. I just find the way it's done so beautiful. And my compliments again to Ira Heller for this. It's to me very inspiring. Ata Hareta is again from the Torah reading of Tisha B'Av, but from the Torah reading of Shabbat Nachamu as well. It is said in Nusach Sfard as the opening verse before the Ark is opened for Torah reading. And Nusach Ashkenaz uses it and says it just on Simchat Torah. We'll call that the crowning glory of the Torah reading cycle when we end it and when we finish it. Ata hareta lada'at ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. It is God who is God. Ein od milavado. A mitzvah that's once a year and self-contained is kind of simple to develop the kavana for the proper fulfillment. You're sitting at a Seder table, And you get up to the time where you have to wash for hamotzi and eat matzah. And the Seder leader reminds everybody that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan. And he breaks the matzah and gives you your portion and says, as a reminder, you make your brachot and you eat and you chew it and you swallow it, and it should be done within 4.5 minutes. And that constitutes the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Finished. It's fairly easy to think, I'm about to do this mitzvah. It's a reminder of the Exodus. It's a reminder of the haste and the confidence that we had in God that He would take us out, that we didn't even prepare food for ourselves. And you do it. Easy. Now let's bump that up one notch. Sukkah. You build the sukkah. You prepare to go into the sukkah. You prepare your meal. You invite your company. And it's now the first night of Sukkot. Easy when you walk in. On the wall is a decorative poster with the Ribono Shel Olam, Yehi Ratzon, etc., etc. And you say it. And you have kavana. When you get to that bracha leshev basuka, you are thinking the right kind of thoughts for the fulfillment of this mitzvah. What happens a half hour later? You're still in the middle of supper. You're having a good time, a good meal, nice company, nice interesting discussion. And you forget that you're in a sukkah. It just goes into the back of your mind someplace, because what's occupying your mind at this moment is the conversation at the table, and it's like any other festive occasion with company and good food. Once in a while, you need look up, see the schach, and say, l'shem mitzvat yeshiva basukah, for the sake of the mitzvah of dwelling in the sukkah. And you could go further and say the sukkah represents the heavenly clouds of glory that protected the people. All of this because you read in the art scroll, or you read in Torah Tidbits, or you read someplace kavana to have for sukkah. Even that is fairly easy. Gut or something that happens not once a year, but something that happens once a week. Kiddush Friday night. I wonder how many people, when they are about to say Kiddush on Friday night, realize that this is A, the fulfillment of a mitzvah in the Torah to do, and B, it is an acknowledgement on our part of God's creation of the world. Usually, it's everybody ready for Kiddush. We just sang Shalom Aleichem. We said Eshet Chayil. You bless the children, grandchildren, and you fill the cups and you make Kiddush. What I'm pitching for, and I'm not even there yet, is Kavana, which can take a second, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever, to focus. And it could be a person at the table who says, we're about to say Kiddush. Just think that we call the Shabbat, we say that it is Zikaron Lemaaseh Vereshit, a commemoration of creation, and Zecher Liyitziat Mitzrayim. And that, by the way, comes from this week's Sedra, where it says, Not Ki Sheshet Yamim Asah Hashem Et HaShemayim Et Aretz, for on 6 days God made the world and rested on the seventh, therefore we observe Shabbat. We go to the other version of Aseret HaDibrot, and if you actually have a Torah Tidbits, you can look on page, I don't remember, 34 or something like that, 36, where you have the Aseret HaDibrot as they appear in Yitro, and every difference to it, every difference in the version that appears in Vot Hanan. It's very interesting. The most interesting is Shabbat. First, the famous Zachor, and Shamor. That became famous with the Lucha Dodi song. We sing Shamor v'Zachor b'Dibur Echad, and there's a whole concept that goes with that. But what I'm saying is, on a Friday night, mention it to your company, mention it to your family, just so that we can take something that we are comfortable with, that we take for granted doing week after week after week, and add that element of kavana. Then go to something we do every day, sometimes more than once a day, like Birkat HaMazon, like a bracha. I've said this often, and I'm not even at the point that I want to tell you. This is all leading up to it, but let's take a look at a bracha. 9 words that you say before you drink water or other beverage, except for wine. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya Bidvaro. That is one of the most profound statements that a Jew makes. God is the source of blessing. He is our God. He is the King of the universe. And everything that exists came into existence by His divine command. Wow. The problem is, when you say a shahakol, it usually comes out something like this. And there is no chance at all that a person is going to think about those 9 little words. I'm not talking now about Birkat HaMazon that has hundreds of words. I'm talking about a 9-word bracha. And it's not just that one, it's Bori Minei Mizonot as well. The only 10-word bracha is Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, the others are 9, but that's just a little technicality.
We'll pick up that thread in a couple of minutes after the news update and whatever other announcements there are. Of course, if you're listening to this already archived, there won't be an interruption. But know that there was one here, and that's why I am saying these words. We'll be right back. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio. Let's continue the Shi'ur.
What I'm saying is, here's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that you will breeze through and once in a while hold back, take it a little slower, and say it like you mean it. And mean it like you say it. Maybe that's even better to say. Now you go to something that you don't do a couple of times a day. You go to a mitzvah that is always. Always. And in that, I realize there are at least 2 different kinds. One kind that I referred to is mezuzah. When you move into a new apartment and there are no mezuzot, you buy a mezuzah, you have it checked, you make sure it's kosher, you buy a hidur, you spend a little bit more, you buy a nice case, you put it up. When you're putting up the mezuzah, there is no doubt in my mind that you will have kavanah for the mitzvah of affixing a mezuzah on your doorpost. The bracha says it all, and the whole point is doing that. But then it's going to be on that doorpost day in and day out, constantly, year after year after year. The fact of the matter is, the mitzvah is not just fulfilled at the moment that you affixed it to the doorpost. It continues. It's a continuing mitzvah. But it goes on to automatic pilot. Automatic pilot, by definition, is something that you take for granted. I am not steering the airplane now, and I'm not controlling the speed, because the automatic pilot is doing that. A mezuzah on your door today, having moved into your apartment 10 years ago, is on automatic pilot. Now, we do have frequent reminders of that mitzvah, like every time you walk through the door. I shouldn't say every time. Sometimes you walk in and you don't notice the mezuzah. If you are a mezuzah toucher or a mezuzah kisser, then you are remembering that mitzvah every time you do that.
But it should also come with a remembering that this is a mitzvah. In this week's Parsha, by the way, also. We say the mitzvah when we say the Shema, Uchtavtam al mizvizot beitecho visharecha. But it should be part of an ongoing, not continuous, but continual. You know the difference between those two words. Continuous is always. Continual means from time to time, at some kind of frequency. So, once in a while, to take a look at that mezuzah, pause by the door, and realize that has been the sign of the Jewish door for many, many centuries. A thought just occurred to me now. There was one night when there was a different sign on the doorpost and on the lintel, and that was the blood of the Korban Pesach. But the mezuzah, I didn't even know if I'm right for saying this, because it just popped into my head. But I wonder if anybody writes about this, that the mezuzah is the perpetuation for always of the concept of marking the door of the Jewish home. That night, it was done for a specific purpose, so that God would pass over the home when he was smiting the firstborns of the Egyptians. But it definitely is a protector. You know that the Shin Dalet Yud, which is one of God's names, has also an abbreviation to it. It stands for Shomer Daltot Yisrael, the guardian of the doors of Israel. That's an acronym that is not what the name means, but it is one of his names, and therefore it's significant that it also has this extra association with a mezuzah. You know, of course, that a mezuzah contains Kriyat Shema. It has the word Shin Dalet Yud, God's name, on the back side of the mezuzah, and when it's rolled up, that's what's visible. And many mezuzah cases are marked with a shin to remind you that inside the case is the word Shaddai, God's name. And that represents a lot of things. Now, I want to go one step further. Because in this week's Sedra, we have 2, 3, maybe 4 different mitzvot that are constant and not like a mezuzah, but dynamic. Let's put it like this. A mezuzah, I'm remembering these two words from chemistry that I studied in college. Static and dynamic. A mezuzah is like a static mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to have a kosher mezuzah parchment, put in a case, affixed to your doorpost, and leave it there. That mitzvah does not change in its nature. If you personally want to have a nicer mezuzah, I'm talking not about the outside case, I'm talking about the cloth, that's doable, because you have a sofer who's more skilled and follows more of the details of a letter. But the mitzvah to affix the mezuzah on the doorpost is fairly static. The mitzvot that I'm talking about now, and this is the reason that I'm saying all of this, are the mitzvot to believe in God, not to have any other gods before him, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, to revere or fear God. Those are 4 mitzvot, among a few others, that are called mitzvot timidiot, constant, all the time mitzvot. If you look at the lead tidbit headline, it was called, refers to 24/7 mitzvot. I looked up 24/7. 24/7 originally was a Harlem black Afro-American kind of term, and it had all kind of connotations, but it became applied to stores and other services that operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a joke that one-liner of Steve Wright where he says, how come a 7-Eleven that operates 24/7 has locks on its doors? You know, why do they bother? And then he said also he once went to a place that said 24 hours a day, and he found that they were closed. So when they opened up later, he complained. He says, no, we are open 24 hours, but not in a row. You know, that was the line. But getting back to this, belief in God is not a static mitzvah. It's a dynamic mitzvah. I mean the following. Do you believe in God? Yes. Did you ask yourself, or did somebody ask you that question when you were, I don't know how old, 15 years old? I look back in my life, and I could attribute only as early as age 15 that I started doing my own kind of thinking. I don't really remember if at 13 or 11 or even earlier I had these kind of thoughts. It was mostly what I learned in school, what I was told by my parents. I don't remember, and I don't take credit for internalizing and personalizing these things. Roughly around 15, I think I came to my own commitment to belief in God. Now, it's a lot of years have passed since I was 15. The mitzvah to believe in God, which comes from the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Rambam and others say, don't read that as a statement, read it as a command. As if the Torah would have said, thou shalt believe in God. When it says, also in this week's Sedra, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that is more than a statement. It is a command. You look on the list of 613 mitzvot, it's there. By the way, I have spoken, and I think in terms of a computer program where you can feed the entire text of the Torah, program to find command words, and extract a list of commands. So if you ran such a computer program, whenever the Torah says, and God spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the people of Israel and command them, sure enough, the computer will pull that out. But there are a lot of things that are going to slip by. There are a lot of things that are going to come out that don't belong there. When God commands Noah to build the ark, that's not a mitzvah. That was a command to Noah. And it's not perpetual, and therefore it doesn't show up on our list of 613. When God commands us and says, Bo'erev tochlu matzot, and in the evening, referring to the 15th of Nisan, you shall eat matzah, that's a command. I believe that such a computer program will allow Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad to slip by. It will not pick those because they don't sound like commands. They sound like statements. But they are defined as a command. Okay, I know how to eat matzah. I know how to dwell in a sukkah. I know how to make kiddush and say birkat hamazon and shake a lulav and etrog. I know all of those things. How do I fulfill the mitzvah to believe in God? It is not enough to say, yes, I believe in God, finished, go on to the next thing. It's something that continually, there's that word again, challenges the Jew, and the fulfillment of the mitzvah comes to you again. If you hear of a tragedy, a car crash, and a person's wife and children are killed, and the man sustains serious injuries and eventually survives, but without his family. And aside from the feelings that we have and the sadness and the sympathy and your heart goes out and everything else, there's something else there. There is assimilating that experience into your belief in God. If you are bothered, how can God allow something like that to happen? Because you know the people and they're so nice and wonderful and Balei Chesed and all the good things. So how could God allow that to happen? That, as a question, is not bad. But it requires you to search out for an answer. Now, it's true. In this week's Perek of Pirkei Avot, there's a Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Yanai who said, it is not for us to understand the peace and tranquility of wicked people, nor the tzaras, the troubles and tribulations of good people. That's the famous issue called Tzadik Viralo Rasha Vitovlo. It's not us, not up to us to understand that or to figure it out. And yet, it's a challenge to try to understand or at least accept within your picture of belief in God that He is infinite and He knows what He's doing. And even though I can't understand it, to have the trust, like a child is supposed to have the trust in a parent, when the parent gives the child a medication, that he's not poisoning the child. And I don't know if that was a good analogy, but there are a lot of things like that that you don't leave out of your picture of God. And that means that at age 59 or 75 or 82, the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha is again a fresh command that requires a different way of understanding it, a different kind of commitment, a recommitment. The mezuzah on the doorpost is the same. The mezuzah that I saw yesterday is still there today. If it's not, I put it back. And sometimes I take it off to have it checked. And sometimes I take it off to paint and then put it back again. But essentially, it's the same mitzvah of affixing a mezuzah to the doorpost. I really shouldn't shortchange mezuzah because there are books you could read about the Kabbalistic meaning of mezuzah, the hidden secrets of mezuzah. So it does really go more than what you think when you start. But not in the same way that I'm talking about. I wrote something that I read about bears that really bowled me over. That is that bears mate, the female bear conceives, there is a delay before the implantation of the embryo in its womb, so that the period of gestation and the eventual birth will take place at the best possible time of the year for the survival of the offspring. In other words, when bears mate, if they would conceive and immediately start developing their offspring, the baby would be born at not the best time of the year. Maybe the mother is busy sleeping in the winter and the baby wouldn't have the protection of the mother or whatever. So there is a built-in delay in the implantation in most species of bear. When I saw that, my first reaction, because this is my nature, is to say the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 104, verse 24, Mor Rabu Masecha Hashem, how manifold are your creations, Kulam Bechachma Asita, each one was done with wisdom on your part, God, the world is filled with your creations, with your creatures. Then you say, okay, what do I learn from that? One of the things you learn is that not every species of animal can cope with a birth at any time of the year like human beings can. Most animals have a period of the year when offspring are born. And you do not have births at other times of the year. It's the natural cycle, and has to do with weather, with climate. Human beings, because we are able to adapt to different conditions, are able to give birth at any time of year, although I hear from women who have given birth that there are some times of the year where it's easier to be pregnant than in other times of the year. I don't know how many plan it that way, to say, I want to get pregnant in April so that I could give birth in December because I don't want to give, because the last time was over the summer that I was in my eighth and ninth month and I was schwitzing all the time and it was, you know, and I couldn't find anything to wear, you know, whatever. All right, but babies are born all times of the year. I don't really think in human beings there was any time of the year that is more than any other time of the year for births. I think birthdays of people are fairly uniformly distributed into the whole year. There happen to be statistics that there's one date that's like the rarest date to have as a birthday. I don't know why, and I don't think anybody knows why. You know, something like October 4th or something like that. And then somebody can say, oh, that's my birthday. So, you know, all right, fewer people are born on that day than on February 6th. Why? I have no idea. But it's certainly not like animals that have periods of the year where the animals are born. But all of this inputs into a higher appreciation of God, and that is a fulfillment, again, of the mitzvah of belief in God. If you believe in God and you are unaware of various wonders of nature, then it's a belief, but it's not as, I don't know the right word, as good, as great, as large, I'm lost for the word, as when you do know. In other words, the more you study in nature, the more you study in this world, the potential, it doesn't always work like that, the potential is to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha on a higher level. Someone who thinks that the night sky is a black curtain which has little lights on it, and that the sun that was out during the day is making its trip under the earth so that it will be able to rise in the east again in the morning, but has no idea about what a star is, what a planet is, only because they're not interested, or they don't read, or they don't, they never learned it, or whatever, is missing out on part of what God is and does, and therefore can't appreciate the mitzvah to believe in God as much as someone else who does know those things. You have Moshe Rabbeinu very worried that people will worship nature. He says, on the day that you heard God's voice speaking from the fire at Sinai, you did not see a visual image, because there is no visual image to see. Therefore, you have to keep that in mind, that you're not allowed to make idols, even though it will be very tempting. The average human being, Jew included, needs something concrete, something physical, to focus his religious and spiritual energy. That's why there is a Beit HaMikdash, and that's why there is an Aron with a Kruvim, and that's why there is a shul, and that's why there's a Sefer Torah, and that's why there's a kotel, but there's a danger in it. The danger is worshiping the kotel. The danger is praying to Rachel Imenu at her kever. You're not allowed to do that. You are allowed to pray to God, being motivated by the feelings of motherly love and sympathy that are engendered when one visits Kever Rachel. That's fine. You are not allowed to pray to Rachel. You're not allowed to pray to the Kotel.
I don't know if that's the best way to end the show, but we're running out of time. There was more to the shiur. We'll talk more at some future time in Mirtz Hashem. For now, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. Make it a little extra joyous in your own ways. Lehishtameah.